Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Chats from the Blog Cabin. You know, the show where I virtually invite people into the blog cabin to chat about life. And today we have returning guests who I'm so excited, Laura and Joy, and they're going to talk about safety, spring break safety, hotel room safety, road trip safety, technology and dating online safety. I mean, basically all the other safety things we've not talked about for women. So welcome to the show, guys. And for those who have not listened to an episode, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Joy Farrow. I'm a retired deputy sheriff, and I actually started my law enforcement career as a road patrol officer in Pompano Beach, Florida. And I worked the road handling every possible call you can think of. And unlike TV, I worked alone. So we did not have partners, but we had backup. And it was domestics round the clock. Anything you could think of was nonstop. It was the third busiest city in the county, and I believe still is in Broward County. And then I transferred after 9/11 to the Fort Lauderdale Airport for still working for the Broward County Sheriff's Office at that time. And I continued handling all sorts of same type of calls on the road, drug trafficking, fights, suicides, domestics, all the same type of calls. And also anything that the TSA would call us for also. And I worked up until one final mass shooting at the airport. And that was tragic. And I retired 6 months after that. So that was 28 years in law enforcement. And after that, Laura and I got together to write a book on women's safety, Street Smart Safety for Women, Your Guide to Defensive Living. And also, I've been speaking on women's safety. And that's what I've stuffed my day with.
And Laura, a little about yourself.
My name is Laura Frombach, and I am a former technologist. And by that, I mean that I have had a front seat to the evolution of technology for the last 30 years and watched it go from the evolution of just in big companies where I worked to part of our everyday life, so that nobody, except if you're in the Sahara and probably even there, can escape it. I'm also the survivor of family childhood violence. All of our family had generational domestic violence. So I speak of domestic violence and abuse, and not just the stories, not just the bad stories, but also warning women how to recognize this type of person when you're dating, because domestic violence and abuse doesn't happen in a vacuum. It develops sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but you can avoid a lot of heartbreak and tragedy if you know what to look for earlier in the relationship.
Yes. And you guys have come on and you talked first about your book, and then you talked about the domestic abuse and what to look for and how women can be safe that way. But now we're coming up on spring break. We're going to do a lot of women are going on road trips and by themselves. Actually, I know I'm planning a trip pretty soon with my girls. And so what can we do to be safe while we're on the road?
You know, first off, let's look at our car. So I want to be sure that everything is working in the car. And it's also good to have AAA or something like that, so you can have safety protection wherever you are and know that you're covered for anything instead of having to scroll for it on your phone in an emergency, in a rainstorm. At least this way, you already know that you have it. And, you know, just in case something happens quickly, it's good to have some safety items in the car. So, you know, even some medical things. And it's good to also have, know how to change a tire. Just in case, you know, even if you needed to use Fix-A-Flat, you know, just to get where you're going, you know, just little things like that. And always, you know, if you're going to pull over for an emergency, of course, make sure, you know, you're in a safe area for that while you're waiting.
They always want to carry, you always want to carry defensive tools with you, whether you're going on a road trip with your friends or your family. Have those defensive tools nearby. Keep them in your glove box. Keep them in your purse. Joy keeps them right on the side of the door. Driver's door, so that you can easily get to them in the event of a bad situation. And it doesn't mean, again, as we always say, it doesn't mean live in the red zone. But what it does mean is that you want to be prepared, you want to be aware, and above all, you want to be safe.
And when we talk of defensive tools, you know, we're talking of, if you're not familiar, so we're talking of like pepper spray, pepper gel, which is also the same little handy sprays that you can carry. And, you know, if you forgot that, or, you know, you're not familiar with it, then you can stop and you can get
hornet spray.
Hornet spray.
Right.
Oh.
That goes 30 feet and it goes in a stream and you can spray it right at an attacker or a predator's face and from high, and it will blind them. They are not going to think about any attack and you can make your getaway at that time.
Another one that sprays 30 feet is bear spray. And anyone can get that. You can order that online. You could get it in Target, you know, any of the gun stores, but that's easily accessible. And that is great to carry in your car, in the center console. You know, you never know. You stop somewhere at a gas station and somebody comes up to you. Hey, at least you can have this ready. And they don't know what it is, but it shoots a stream of 30 feet. And if it can take down a bear, let that be a lesson.
Regarding road trips as well, I want to throw in a quick anecdote, particularly people traveling together, is that when you go together, even at a rest stop, keep each other in sight. And the anecdote that I want to share with you is I was on a road trip with one of my relatives, and she has three very small children. And I was sitting aside with, you know, two of the kids waiting for her to go to the restroom. And while she was walking one of the children to the restroom, I saw a guy on one picnic table and a guy on another picnic table. I watched them watch her go to the restroom. And I wanted to make sure they knew that she wasn't alone. So I took the other two children with me. But it was interesting to me that I actually observed, and they were like sending visual signals back and forth between each other, the two guys. And it really just gave me a bad feeling. So I wanted to take care of it. And so that's why I mentioned, even on rest stops, no matter where you are, keep a visual, especially, you know, if there are young women traveling, you know, with you that could be, you know, taken, if you will. And not to be a fear monger, but, you know, just, again, some little tips to be aware of and to be safe.
Also, something to be aware of now is, especially in rest stops on long road trips, is now there are unisex bathrooms. Mm-hmm. So this is why you want to go, you know, with your daughter, you know, whatever, whoever is going, but women should go in pairs. Mm-hmm. So because of this, and we were traveling and we were surprised by the men in line who were also surprised. I think I'm in the wrong line. And they turned around to me and said, I think I'm in the wrong line. And I said, no, you're not. So it was not a one stall. It was a multi-stall bathroom. So even the women were uncomfortable with this. So it's something to keep in mind that, you know, you don't want to go in there by yourself because you never know. So,
or let someone in your party go in there by themselves.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what always happens when we go on a road trip. Like my daughter and I, when we go, it's like, even if she doesn't have to go, she just stands off to the side while I go, because, you know, mom has to go all the time. But also, I want to add to the point that, you know, when you stop and you have to get gas, because ultimately that's going to happen, always look for a bigger gas station, not like these mom and pop gas stations, but these bigger ones that, you know, there's going to be a lot of people, like a Sheetz or a, you know, or a truck stop or something like that. They have a lot of people around instead of a mom and pop.
Also, with those big gas stations also, you know, there's a lot of people around. So, you know, when you're traveling, people think tourist. So you want to be careful of what's being shown in your car. What are you leaving? So if you can hide your luggage, put something over it, so at least it's not that visible that, you know, you're on this big road trip. I mean, everybody gets gas, but not everybody stuffs their car with luggage so that everybody can see. So, you know, you want to hide that. Keep the doors locked. One door, you know, unlocked when you're pumping gas, you know, and still be aware of people, because people panhandle a lot at the gas stations. And that's usually where problems come into play, is because, oh, let me just give them some money. So you want to be careful about that.
So we will be right back. We got to take a brief commercial break, and it'll be your commercial.
Oh, thank you.
The threats women face today are unparalleled and even more dangerous than ever before. One in three women globally has been the victim of an assault. Women are terrified, and they are looking for answers.
In the book, Street Smart Safety for Women, we draw on our experiences, both personal and professional, to provide those answers. It's by women, for women. Street Smart Safety for Women is available wherever books are sold.
And we are back talking with Laura and Joy, the authors of Street Smart Safety for Women. We just got through talking about road trip safety. Now, a lot of young college kids are going on spring break, and even parents that are taking their kids on spring break stuff. What are some safety tips for us here?
Also, you know, when you're traveling, besides the road safety, you know, you want to be aware of people coming up to you and asking for money. So, you know, it's also good to carry your purse, your belongings and everything, crossbody, so you always have that on you. And if you can carry some of the bags that have pickpocket proof type locks on there, you know, sometimes you'd be surprised how fast people are when you're in a store, you know, when you're not looking. You have to be careful when you're in a restaurant. You don't want to put your bag behind you, hang it off of the chair. You know, keep it on your legs in front of you. It only takes a second for someone around and slip their hand in there and your wallet's gone. So also, you know, along with money that you're bringing, you want to split it up and don't carry everything all in one area in case something does happen. Make a copy of your passport your driver's license, credit card. And, you know, this way, if something does happen, you're not out, and, you know, you do have a copy and you can, you know, call and get another card or cancel that card. But, you know, when you're upset, sometimes, you know, your mind isn't thinking right. And, you know, you're wasting time in getting what you need.
Also, keep in mind that events like spring break bring out predators. Predators are well aware that people are going traveling, they're going to be vacationing, and they think that it's an easy way to get whatever that they can get. And it doesn't mean to be unfriendly to people. And as we talked about before, it doesn't mean to live in the red zone. Mm-hmm. But what it means is to be aware. If somebody comes up to you, if you are in a hotel or wherever you are, and you're in an elevator, if you can avoid it, and you're a woman traveling alone, or you're a mom, you know, with younger kids on spring break, and a single man, you know, gets into the elevator, if you can, just get off the elevator and wait for the next one. You know, you don't want to be caught unawares or caught in a situation that you can't get out of, because it's very easy to hit the pause button on the elevator and be in a bad situation. So you always want to be aware of where your exit is. And, you know, that brings another point to mind, too, is no matter where you are, know where your closest exit is, not only in the event of, you know, a potential predator, but also in the event of a disaster like a fire breaking out or whatever, because research has shown that people who know where their exit is, who preload their brain, if you will, to know where the exit is, your brain has someplace to go. And if your brain knows exactly where you're going to go, it'll prevent you from panicking, because you'll say, oh, default, I know how to get out. I know the back way out. You know, if you're in a restaurant or whatever, you're in a food court in a strange place, there's always a back door to go to that you can get out easily and safely.
That brings me to another, I can't remember what it's in another interview that we did. You talked about preloading. Was it preloading your brain to dial 911? Was that what you were talking about before?
Yes.
So can you hit on that again?
Preloading your brain. So if you have this information for looking at your phone and knowing how to call 911 off of your phone before you need to use it, you will know immediately. And you won't panic. So you look at your phone and you push the sides of it and you can see how you can call. It says SOS, which means 911. But at least, you know, if you go over these things in your mind, because when you get nervous, you won't remember the passcode for your phone. Mm-hmm. And what if the Face ID isn't working and you have to put your code in? So at least if, you know, calmly shut your phone off, look at your phone and see how you would call the 911 on there by pushing the sides of your phone. It's the same thing on your watch. If you have an Apple Watch, you push the sides of the watch and you can do the same thing. But if you're nervous and you're all caught up in the moment, you forget about your phone and you forget to do these things and you freeze. And we don't want you to be in that state.
Yeah, research has actually shown that when we panic, we get tunnel vision, and to the point where we can't even see straight, where we can't even see the numbers on the phone, which is, as Joy said, become familiar. Because if you have already preloaded your brain, that will automatically bring that panic down. And even if you can't see, you can remember, oh, I know what to do here. And you can immediately go into that default mode, almost like muscle memory.
Which is why on an airplane, you know, people that fly a lot go, I've heard this 10 million times. I'm going to start reading and I'm not going to listen to this. But if you've never flown before and the flight attendant starts giving you the emergency instructions, it's good to realize that they're telling you this just so you can have it in the back of your mind. That's why they tell you, read the card in front of you, just so you can know where is this, and you don't have to start wondering if love, if the smallest thing on a plane, you know, sometimes makes people panic. But if you already know, okay, the oxygen, sometimes the oxygen can drop down for no big deal. But you know what? If you know that ahead of time, you'll be more comfortable if it happens. And if you have to put the oxygen on, you put it on yourself and then you put it on the other person just so you can help. So these are things that you need to know ahead of time. And that's preloading your brain.
Yeah, I love that. Now, let's go back to the spring break safety. I know a lot of young women and a lot of young men of college, they go crazy. They like drink, they go out to bars, they do a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing on spring break. But how can women be hyper aware, especially young women? Because, you know, if you're at a bar, your drinks, sometimes people like to slip things in your drinks. So let's get some safety tips there.
Right. We want you to keep in mind the buddy system. So you came with your family, which usually doesn't always go to the bar with you. But, you know, if you came with your college friends, you know, the old saying, you stay with the one that brung you. So you stay with your friends, even though you've met other people, you still stay with your friends and you make a plan. So even if, you know, you get separated from across the bar or you meet somebody, you do not leave with that new person. There's no reason that you can't take a picture of the new person. You can take their phone number. You can take an email address, but you don't need to leave with them. The bad case was the Natalie Holloway case, a very tragic and, you know, unfortunate case. She was, traveling in Aruba with, you know, her college friends, and unfortunately left the bar with somebody who was pretending to be a nice person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he turned out to murder her.
We always say no woman left behind. So just like the military, if you are going with your friends, you're going with whoever, those are the ones that you leave with. And also to throw in a quick tip about carrying your drink is we always suggest you carry it from the top. So no matter what you're holding, you carry it from the top. So even if you're passing somebody or you happen to glance away or whatever, that your drink always has your hand on it, that somebody can't slip something in there, because that's also a very popular way that predators take advantage of people is drugging them. And, you know, you wake up the next morning and truly have no idea what happened. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, spring break, as well as many other situations, brings out the predators, and they know that exactly what to do because they have been doing this for a long time. This might be new to some of the younger college people, but it is not new to the predators. You know, they have a long history and they know exactly what they're doing.
And now there are even companies that have come out with some interesting little gadgets that you could put over or carry, put over your drink. So one doubles as a hair tie. So this way you always have it with you, or you wear it around your wrist and then you just open it up and you just put it on top of your drink. So, you know, it's easy and, you know, you finish your drink, you put it back on your wrist. This way you always have it. You don't let anybody buy your drinks. I mean, that's the first thing somebody thinks it's nice. And you can say thank you and walk up there with them and get it. But you don't want anybody getting you anything that is already opened. Now, also, another good thing to have is, especially, you know, going to big bars or wherever, you know, all over the country or even internationally, you know, these bars are getting bigger and bigger, and the parties are getting bigger. So you know, if you get separated from your friends, it's good to have some kind of a system to communicate with them. Mm-hmm. So either you can use some kind of hand signal or you can have a code word. So they know that I don't want to talk to this person anymore and I'm uncomfortable and I don't know how to get out of it. I'll just tell you the code word and your friend should come over or a hand signal, you know, for them to see a wave, whatever it is. But this is where you make a plan before you go out. You know, just the same thing with drinking. Somebody in the group has to help you out and watch. I'm going to be the wing woman today. And, you know, I'm going to barely drink. So somebody has to be a little bit in charge.
To add on one more thing to that, a lot of people, after they have been drinking for the evening, they call ride shares. Mm-hmm. And to be aware when you call a ride share, that the drivers may not always have your best interest in mind either. So make sure that you get in the right car. Don't accept any drinks from the driver. If you're going someplace where you're going to be by yourself, we encourage you not to do that. But if you do, don't let the driver know that you're going to be by yourself. You know, pretend you're talking to friends or, you know, chat about, you know, whoever's going to be meeting you there, just so that the person mm-hmm. driving the car doesn't believe that you're going to be in a vulnerable situation.
Yeah, and I have an anecdote for that. When my middle daughter flew out to California to surprise her sister for her birthday, when she got there, she actually had to take an Uber to my daughter's apartment, and she drove to LA, and she flew into LAX, and they live in Pasadena. So she like immediately got on the phone as soon as she got on in her Uber and just like talked to us the whole time she was in the car. And it was like, I'm not sure if I'm even in the right place, Mom, because she'd never been there before. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you are. You have her address. You just have to look around. But she knew, she was aware enough to know that she had to get, when she got in that car by herself, because she's a little itty bitty thing. She's like, she's 25, but she doesn't even weigh 100 pounds and she's 4'11". She knew, she was aware of the fact that she needed to be safe. And that's, she called us and stayed on the phone with us the whole time.
That's great. Those are great. That's a great safety practice.
Mm-hmm. That, and many of the tech apps, mm-hmm. you know, just to stay in contact with, you know, your family or somebody else, you know, always let somebody know where you're going. But, you know, you shouldn't be alone is pretty much the bottom line on spring break. You do all you can with everybody else. Mm-hmm. So you always want to be together. What else were we?
It's always a party. So parties involve people.
Now we're on spring break. We covered the bar. Let's talk about hotel safety for spring break, because that's very important. You know, because a lot of young women, they go down there, they can like room together, or they either get a room by themselves, and I don't think they should ever get a room by themselves though.
I totally agree. And also if you're getting a room, you know, see if you can get a higher floor, only because, you know, it's easy to get into first floor windows or the patio doors. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's all you can get in that particular place, then, you know, definitely make sure beforehand you can get locks from Amazon. And of course you can travel with those, and that's great for that type of sliding door. If that's where you are on the bottom floor. And also what's really good is this is called Hide-A-Lock, and this is great. It's an added lock for the front door of the door of the hotel. So it fits in there. It's a little extra safety. And also, this is great. This takes a lot of pressure. So this is the door alarm wedge. You get a couple of these because sometimes there's two doors from maybe an adjoining room. Yeah. So you bring a couple of these. They're inexpensive. And they set off an unbelievably loud alarm. So this is great. It takes a lot of pressure to open this, to push the door open with it, which pretty much isn't going to happen. You know, also, it's good to realize that just because you hear a knock at the door, you know, the movie Fluff Pillow, no housekeeping. Okay, you need to be careful about just somebody knocking on the door and saying security, or making it sound like, you know, you need to hurry up and open the door. That you really want to be careful of, you know, because people look and see young people going up there. They might have followed you. They might have seen you walk by. They might be in the next room or across from you. So, you know, be conscious of that. And, you know, even though you look out and you see a man standing there saying security, okay, until you call downstairs, ask, what does the security person look like? And did you send anyone? No. Okay, you don't need to open the door, which is why you should have the hornet spray nearby, you know, just in case. And if you do have, you know, if you're traveling by car or you've taken pepper spray, you can put the pepper spray in your carry-on bag if you have flown, which is good, you know, to keep nearby at the door for that. And again, if you're going anywhere in the hotel, try to go with somebody else, or else stay on the phone, like you said. Stay on the phone with somebody. Don't take the stairs by yourself.
And don't get in the elevator again by yourself.
No. You know, if you're going to feel uncomfortable, I really needed to go downstairs to meet them. And I don't think I'm uncomfortable with these two guys in front of me. Or else they're telling you to come on, you're okay. No, that's okay. You know, wait for the next ride. It's only going to be a couple minutes. And, you know, call your party and tell them, you know, I'm here. And it's good to talk to people on the phone so that these people know that you're talking to somebody on the phone and they don't know where they are, that they can run right up there and help you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to stay in contact like that.
Yeah. Now, you just mentioned something, Joy, about, you know, you could put the wasp spray and everything else in your luggage and right. pack it. What about airport safety? Because there's not a lot of tools that we can bring through TSA that women can carry with them that won't get confiscated. So what can we carry?
Yeah, you could carry the door alarm. You can carry the wedge door alarm. The pepper spray has to go in your, and you also have to check with, you can go online and check with the airlines and see, but usually if the pepper spray is in its case and of a certain size, in the packaging it came in, you can put it in carry-on, right. Never in a check bag.
Tactical pen,
you can carry with you.
You want to describe what that is?
It's good for window breakage so that it has a steel tip at the end. It is an unbreakable steel pen, and it really is a ballpoint pen, and it's refillable, but you can use that and keep that in your purse, which is great for road trips or when you are out at a bar or somewhere walking to your car. You can just grab the pen, have it in your hand already, and if somebody was to grab you, you can, you know, stab them in the arm, whatever it takes. They would be surprised by the steel tip. And, you know, at least giving yourself some time to get away. It's also good to carry it in the car for a road trip because it can break a window. So, you know, anything could happen. And, you know, if you needed to get out through a window or the car ends up in water, this can break the glass. One tap and it would break the glass. So it's very helpful. But very few things can go through TSA. Most would go through in your carry-on bag. In your check bag, I'm sorry. If you're flying international, even though in your check bag, sometimes you can't take pepper spray. So, you know, these are things that you want to just go online and look up for the airline, you know, just so you don't get there and all of a sudden you don't have any of your items because, well, you shouldn't have put them in that bag. Also, and we'll just talk about just for a second for travel, airport safety. You know, before you're flying, keep all your items in your plastic bags, you know, be ready to go through so that you're not showing people that you're taking off a good watch. You know, you don't need to take off your big jewelry, anything to people. You don't take your cell phone and just put it there. You know, these are things that people watch and, you know, they follow you out of the airport also. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they may be on your same flight. They may be in the airport. So you want to be careful about leaving your luggage also. You know, don't ask anyone, can you just watch this? I'm just going to go over there and get some. You don't know who these people are. You know, even though they made it through security, they could still steal your bag. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you want to lose your carry-on bag or your purse or, you know, whatever you had in there to take with you on your trip. So just keep that in mind that there are a lot of predators when you're traveling through the airport.
That sure would ruin a vacation.
Yes, yes. There are a lot of pickpockets, a lot of are always trying to steal. And also just because they're at the airport doesn't mean that they can't walk back out the door. Doesn't mean they're always flying.
Yeah, because I know there's some people, I've read stories where there's some people that just bought the cheapest ticket possible just to get in to and just hang out there. They're not even actually going anywhere. They just buy the cheapest tickets just so they can find people to prey on.
Right, right.
So we've done that. Now let's talk about technology, because technology and dating, and Laura, I know that's your wheelhouse. That is a whole nother can of worms that opened up. It's not like you were saying before, you have to be safe when you go to the bar and make sure that you meet the right person. But sometimes there's catfishing and other things with technology and dating online. So let's talk about that, how women can be safe with that.
Okay, I'm going to go back in time for just a short period before dating apps. How did we meet people before dating apps? Well, usually we met them at work, we met them at school, we met them through somebody that we knew. So you had a way of verifying their identity. Maybe somebody they went to church with, your cousin or your sister or whatever. Everybody sort of knew everybody, and that's how we met people. Now, of course, dating apps, all bets are off. Anybody can be online. And I need to mention here, too, there are no regulations about dating online. The legislators have not adopted any regulations about technology or social media technology, including dating apps, in the 21st century. So there are no regulations, which means there are very few laws to break. And even if people do break them, the chances of them being apprehended and prosecuted, you know, have shrunk dramatically. So we have some suggestions for women to adopt to improve their chances of being safe. And the first one that we always say is go online, have fun, but do not use, for heaven's sake, do not use the free version of the apps. Every dating app has their levels of the way that you can belong to it, but they all have free. And there are known sexual predators. The dating app corporations have acknowledged, Match acknowledged in 2019 in a ProPublica magazine article, that they knew, recognized, and acknowledged that there were known sexual predators on the free version of their apps. So if you are looking for love, predators are looking for something else, and they are looking for people who don't know what they're doing, can be caught in a compromised situation, and, you know, are looking for the least expensive way to get by. So that's rule number one, no free version of the app. Always go for the pro version. First of all, you're to meet a higher quality person because they also are investing in their dating future. Secondly, and I think most importantly, is the fact that they will have to provide a credit card which provides identity verification. Mm-hmm. And they may have had a stolen credit card, but those chances are slim. Most people are going to give their own credit card, which means that the app companies, if you have a bad situation or you report to them, they will know that that was a real person and be able to track them. Along those lines as well, to go back to our airport safety for a bit, see if they have a TSA pre-pass. TSA pre, we think this should be on dating apps. TSA pre does a background check because they don't check you, you know, when you're going through security. You know, you have reduced security because you've already been verified through TSA. So see if they have a TSA pre-pass. It doesn't mean that they are not a predator. It just means that the chances of them being a predator are a little bit lower. So we want you to do that. After you pass that hurdle and you provide your credit card and you're looking for other quality people, what you want to do is look for profiles, insist on profiles where there's a picture. You mentioned catfishing. If there is no picture, and again, it doesn't mean that it's going to be their picture, but are there pictures of not only the person, just their headshot? Does their profile show pictures of them actually doing something? If they say they're a big hiker, does it show pictures of them hiking, fishing, or whatever they say that they're doing? Because every picture tells a story, and you want those pictures to match what they say in their profile. And a lot of people who, let's just say catfishers, they will provide the least amount of information possible. You want to provide all the information that's relevant to a date and also look for that in the profiles that you're looking at. And don't be in such a hurry. Oh, this person looks cute. Well, there's a lot of cute predators. Let me tell you, you cannot profile a predator because anyone can be fooled by a good looking picture. But these are some tips that you want to do to start. The other thing that you want to do is you want to video chat with that person online on the platform to see, A, does the person that you're video chatting with match the picture? And get all of those questions that you want to ask, those screening questions, you know, out while you're on the platform. If somebody is pressuring you to go offline, or give me your phone number, give me your email address, let's text. No, don't do it. Just stop them cold. We want you to be a flirty detective. And what that means is that you can still flirt, but you can still find information out from people. And on some of the platforms, they used to have background verification. They don't have that anymore. Some of them will check people's social profiles, and we want you to do that on your own as well. What they used to do was look on the databases, the public databases, to find out if the person had a record. But you can do that yourself by looking at the federal PACER system. And PACER stands for Public Access to Court Electronic Records. And it's free. It's like 10 cents a page or something, or $3 for an entire document. But it's worthwhile to really vet those people before you go out on a date with them. And then finally, there's the obvious. For the first several dates, meet in a public place, preferably the same public place where you know the back door, you know the people, you know that things are consistent. So if a thing goes south, you have an immediate exit. Your brain has been preloaded to not panic, and you know exactly what you're going to do.
Also, you want to be aware that even though everybody's looking for love, is that people are still looking to scam you in some way. So once you start to hear a bad story, stop yourself right there and say, oh, hold on. No, it's too early for someone to start giving you a bad story over the internet, over the phone, email, and the next stage is asking you for money. So this is usually followed by the love bombing. You're the best thing out there. So, you know, be aware of this. This is where your safety intuition comes into play. This is not normal behavior for dating. So even though you are the greatest thing out there and make a great mate, usually somebody needs a little time to get to know you first.
So, for you to get to know them.
Right.
Now, you mentioned a couple of things. How do you find out if someone has a TSA pre-pass?
Oh, yeah. Just
bring it up. It's part of being a 40 detective. Say, oh my gosh, I love to travel. I love to travel so much. I have TSA pre. Do you like to travel? Do you have TSA pre?
And they might say, I tried to get it and I don't know. I got turned down. Some people, believe it or not, are sarcastically honest. So sometimes that's how you can find out if they've ever been arrested before. You know, have just ask them, have you ever been arrested before? Or when was the last time?
Right. Now, the other thing is, too, is if somebody doesn't have TSA pre, that is not an immediate negator.
No.
That is part of the database that you are building on this person to be able to screen them. And kind of think of it as Legos. So you're start with a base and then you put another piece and then you put another piece. That's what you're doing when you are, you know, vetting out profiles, is you're getting pieces of information that you can verify that will be able to be like it was, you know, back in the old days, like I just mentioned, is there was some means of verifying that person's identity or who they were, what they said they say they are.
Well, and that also helps you, you know, you're in college and you're traveling either abroad or, you know, over the through the country, you know, you're going to meet people from all over. And the first question is, oh, where are you from? So as soon as you get that out and they realize that you're not from down the street, so, you know, prepare yourself to ask some other questions. You know, if you're traveling abroad to France or wherever you're going, be aware of some questions to ask and know some answers, because you don't know if they're telling you the truth. So at least pick up some things from wherever you might be traveling to, just so you know when you start to carry a conversation on with someone, you know, at least you know, oh no, they couldn't possibly, you know, a little thing in the back of your mind. It's all part of vetting someone for dating.
That's the detective part of the 40 detective.
Now, I will add something that I think you kind of hit on, Laura, but the images, you can always take a screenshot and go to Google Image and do an image search to see if that's the same if that image shows up multiple times in different places for as different people.
That is correct. Google reverse image. Yes. And it'll also show you if it's an AI picture.
I did not know that part. That's pretty cool.
Right.
No, that's
AI cool. is the next frontier in frightening situations for women.
And that's why it's good to take a picture if you meet somebody out of the bar, your friend meets somebody out of the bar, just in case, at least you can have a picture to follow up on, you know, because a lot of times the next day, nobody ever remembers what somebody looked like. So
that's so true. Or they think it's one person, and it's actually another person that they're actually getting a text or a phone call from.
Right, Right. Another thing, you know, talking about being out in a bar, what you need to be, this is a really big trend, is stealing the iPhones now. So you need to be very aware of when you're swiping your phone in a bar, who's behind you if when you're putting your code in, because they wait for you and they shoulder surf. So they're looking over your shoulder like at an ATM, and they're trying to see what you're putting in. Now they'll keep a bead on you. And then when you leave, they grab your phone because now they have the code. So you want to be careful, or just they just grab your phone out of your hand and leave the bar. So you want to be careful of that. And also, you know, when you're paying, when you're out and around, be careful of taking out a lot of money, taking out your entire wallet. Break down the money into small bills. So, you know, if you just have to leave money and leave, you know that I have fives in here. I carry this here. Just take it out real quick. You don't even have to look, and you don't have to take your wallet out. So keep money in different places, put it in your pocket. And this way, nobody has to see what you have.
I also want to add to something that you said, Joy, about the iPhone. What about AirTags? Because a lot of times I hear a lot of people that their car is AirTagged, and all of a sudden it'll come up on their iPhone that there's a tag on their car.
Right. Or they've thrown it into somebody's purse, which is another reason, you know, to be aware of people standing too close to you or you. But that's happened, where people have gotten the AirTags, especially they started dating someone or they met someone and they attached it, followed them out, saw their car, attached it to their car, you know, or threw it in the purse or somewhere, a coat pocket. And, you know, maybe they didn't see it right away. But there is an app or on your phone, actually, you know, if you go out to your car, you can bring home close enough to the car to be able to see if it's picking up another Bluetooth item. So at least, you know, it'll show that on your phone. So, you know, just little things to keep in mind. And especially if you're dating someone, the AirTag thing is good to keep in mind, you know, for college students, you know, if you've had a problem with somebody and they're showing up in a lot of places and you're like, how does that keep happening? You know, maybe keep that in mind, and that's stalking. Keep that in mind if that might have happened. You know, could they have been somewhere and put an AirTag? They know where you live. They know, you know, where your car was parked. So it's good. You can check your car for that.
Well, ladies, our time is almost up. Is there one last little, I know I ask you this every time, but is there one last little nugget that we either hit on that you want to make sure that people get it across, you get it across, or there's something that we didn't hit on that you want to share?
I'm going to say for spring breakers, be careful when you're consuming alcohol. It's fun to have fun, but there are a lot of issues that can happen when you get overserved. So, you know, be careful swimming, be careful in a hot tub, be careful when you're out and around.
The last thing I'd like to add is it is also tax season. And the one last nugget I'd like to add is that everyone can get an IRS identity theft PIN. And that is renewable every year. The IRS gives you a 6-digit PIN. You file it with your taxes. So if somebody tries to use your social security number and you've been of identity theft, that changes every year. And the IRS will give you a different PIN every year. And if you are filing your taxes with an accountant, right before you're ready to file, then you give them the PIN. And if that PIN is not on your form, then somebody can't file your taxes for you.
Yes, and that's very important because where my husband used to work at, somebody in the office emailed somebody a whole list of everybody's social security numbers. And we had to, they luckily we weren't a victim of the identity theft, but his social security number was flagged. So we had to go to the IRS office, our local office, and verify his identity. And so it held up our tax return. So yes, yeah. Very important that you do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Melissa, thank you so much. Yeah. We love seeing you again. It was wonderful.
Yes. And anytime you guys want to come back on, and you are more than welcome, because I think these safety tips are something that we need to talk about more and more and more.
Okay. And we look forward to it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find us at streetsmartsafety.org. That's our website. We have videos. We have a blog for tips and tricks for safety, strategic and tactical. And you can find us on all social, but we are most active on our Facebook page.
Street Smart Safety Cop.
And where people can find your book?
You can find our book wherever books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your independent bookseller. Everybody has access to our book. Now available in audio as well.
Ooh, audio would be great, especially if you're traveling.
Yeah.
And you're wanting to listen to a book that's going to like give you some tips. Yes, I'm going to go get the audio right now. That's pretty awesome.
If you're on a road trip for spring break, that's one thing you can
do. Plenty of tips. Yeah.
So ladies, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your knowledge of everything especially everything that you've gone through, so that women and other generations don't have to go through the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great spring break.
All right, guys. I will put everywhere you can find them in the show notes. And until next time, keep chatting and be safe. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin. We not only have voices for a podcast, but also faces for YouTube. Don't miss your next episode.